Tonight, I want us to look at how to prepare for a miracle. How do you prepare for a miracle? Well, for one thing, you have to expect miracles from God. Many people say, well, God doesn't, you know, he doesn't, isn't involved in miracles today. God, well, it's a miracle. Just the fact that he doesn't wipe us off the planet, that in itself is one miracle. As horrible as we have become in the human realm, to where not only any longer do we kill our young, many folks actually devour them as food. Think of how far a society has fallen till it's sickening. Now, when you got people like me or Bob or Norm, anybody that's been in combat, you think you have seen everything, and you prepare for things. And I, you know, coming back, and I know Larry dealing with the broken bodies and all of that stuff over the years with out of surgeries and all with people. When you look at those, you know, I think we have seen it all. So nothing can turn our stomach. Folks, it's not only turning my stomach, it's breaking my heart. Because we're watching innocence. Oh, one who has no voice. So where is the voice? And God is speaking. But when God speaks to a nation, to any people, we will take notice. And if it is the one, so, well, remember this scripture. If a brother, someone you love, not biologically, if a brother is sinning and you do not warn them, meaning the world lost in sin, folks, we're brothers and sisters with everyone that's in the flesh. Got to know that. Therefore, we know that they, because they were created just like us, by God's way, if you will warn your brother of the sin in their life, preach the gospel. And don't cut anything out. Preach the Bible. Then I will not declare their blood at your hands. But if you do not warn them, then their blood I will require at your hands. So anybody that teaches, any Christian that teaches children, any Christian that goes out into public and speaking and to say that's okay and this is okay, God is telling us that their blood I will require at your hands. Now people say, yeah, but how can that hurt a Christian if we're all saved? I know a lot of miserable Christians that can find no peace. They're afraid to find the peace through prayer, which is the only way we can find it, because they think that God really doesn't know what they have done. So they won't bend a knee and ask for forgiveness. For when they do that, each of us then who will do that is required by God's word to apologize to that individual or those individuals that we did this with. There's nothing, there's no greater sin, folks, than to deny a lost person the truth about Christ. Now, remember this. God says to them, though, fine, Larry, I'll take care of him. I will chastise him. He's one of my children. But don't look at me. This is God speaking to the lost world. And you can't blame that on him, for when he did not deliver the message as I told him to, from me he will be chastised. But you, I revealed myself to your heart and you rejected me. Now, why does it get so complex? I haven't the slightest idea. But I do know this. I'm saved by grace. I live by grace. It is the mercy of God that directs each of us and gives us the next breath that we take. So therefore, why would I be ashamed of my Lord? Because he's never done anything to make me ashamed of him. And my whole life was a mess as a human being that I could shame him. And he loves me anyway. Okay, how to prepare for a miracle. John 6:9. We're dealing with the feeding the 5,000. Remember, out here we are. Jesus is preaching and teaching, and as he's preaching and teaching, Jesus is looking at his disciples, and they're coming to him to straighten him out. I probably got that already in here. They're coming in to straighten him out about, Lord, send these people on home. And anyway, the Lord, Jesus asked, is there any food out here? And this is the one of John 6:9. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Remember, in those days, they only counted the men when they were counting out how many people are there. When we have a problem and need a miracle, we need to do 4 things. And this is part of the 4 things we need to do. First of all, we must admit we have a need. Lord, I want a miracle. Okay, for what need, Larry? Well, I don't know. You know, maybe another truck. Yeah, you think that. And God is saying, what do you need? You catching it? Need. Now what do you want? We must admit we have a need. Mark 6:34-37. When Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. So he began teaching them. Christian, when you're having compassion on someone, your expression of the compassion you truly have is sharing a word from God, not from our intellect or faulty wisdom. Share. You don't want to mess up on the scripture? Fine, quote it. Quote God. You can never go wrong when you're quoting scripture. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came and said, disciples, great, the Lord loved them dearly, but they did not want to do any more work than they thought they had to. So they're coming, and they said, this is a remote place. Send the people away so they can go and buy something to eat. And oh my goodness, Jesus, looking at his disciples, he answered, you give them something to eat. Now it was fine to let them go. But Lord, we're worried about them. I wonder if they were all getting tired because he'd been preaching so long and that many people out there. We got to eat ourselves. Let's just tell him this. Okay, you give them something to eat. Well, they said, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Meaning, you want us to treat them, this many people, to supper? Really? Find the need. When you find the need, don't back away from what you're qualified to do for that need. These disciples were following the master. They had watched the master plenty of times with miracles. But they did not focus on a miracle from Jesus. What did they focus on? How much this is going to cost. And I guarantee Judas Iscariot was chomping at the bit. because he carried the money purse. And every time they'd spend something that was, according to Scripture, that was that much he couldn't steal. So that's what was going on with him. Recognize the need, admit the need, but when the Lord tells you to, you take care of it. And the Lord's telling them this, as you will find out, to see what their reaction would be. I do that all the time. You know, I fired Josh and Dustin one day. I said, you all are fired. Go home. You're not doing it right. And they weren't. They were messing around and horsing around doing all of this. I thought, I'll get their attention. You're fired. And 3 days later, I think, before I took them back. You know, Josh was calling every day. We're sorry, we'll work this time. Those boys, since then, when I hired them back, they don't even miss a beat, boys. I mean to tell you, Dustin can run behind that walk behind and all that stuff. And they work hard. Brother Larry, I'll fire you. I will do whatever it takes to get somebody's attention because I love them and care. Second, we must assess what we have to work with. All right? Admit we have a need. Now, take inventory. Look at what you have to work with. Jesus looked at the 12. And he knew this crew was going to do nothing but argue. But he wanted to teach them this lesson. Mark 6, verse 38. They just told him about the boy. It's what I started with up the top. Told him about him. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Well, go and see. Here's what happens again. No, we're so overwhelmed that it was so little. I don't know. I didn't even take notice of how much it was. I just knew that it would be too little. Nothing is too little for God. And if it's something there, God will bless it. If it's nothing there, God will create it, and then he'll bless it. So it was a focus. What do you have, Jesus asked? Go and see. When they found out, they said, five, now listen to this, small loaves of bread and two fish. Now, how could they have missed that count to begin with? Five loaves and two fish?
And how big
were the fish? Yeah. Yeah. You know, and what they were overwhelmed. They looked at the need. And when the Lord told them to assess what they had, again, they just gave up. Well, they come back, well, that only five loaves. They didn't say five loaves. Five small loaves. Now, we tell him this because they are five small loaves and two little fishes that are in there. And the Lord will say, send them on home. Yeah, let them buy something. But John 6:6, Jesus asked this only to test them. Told you. That's almost like I read that scripture, isn't it? For he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus' ministry with his disciples and all those who followed was always a lesson. There was an object lesson. There was always something that he would teach them. But all the way to the end, as you remember, they never got it. They saw what he did, and then, yeah, but he can't do that again. He's already done that. And not only that, that's not the way it's been done in the past. We need to go to the priest, and we need to go to the temple and ask them, and they'll give us some food. Yeah. Third, we must give God whatever we do have. Notice the need, focus on it, find what you have to work with. To you, it's nothing. To God, it's everything. For we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we must live by faith and our trust in Him that He will do it. Because He says He will. We think, you know, I would look at that and I think, you know, how would I have reacted then? I'd have been with the other 11, I'm sure. That ain't going to work. That is not going to work. Because it, and I wonder how, which one of the disciples were really looking and saying, I'm pretty hungry right now. And they'll never miss one of those small loaves. I'll just take a bite out of one of the fishies. Think of it, because He was dealing with human nature. And He was teaching them because He loved them. Third, we must give God whatever we have. Mark 6:41. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He blessed the food and broke the loaves. Well, He breaking those little bitty loaves. And now look at this. He kept giving them. Okay, 5 loaves, little, and the scripture says he broke the loaves and He kept giving. And can't you imagine their eyes? You know, and all the baskets coming around, you got to catch this. And He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. The key to remember is the boy gave what he had willingly, cheerfully, and immediately. It's the lesson we are to learn. It is not when you're looking for a miracle in your life, then you look for the miracle in your life from Jesus, not from your own thinking. Well, I don't think you can do that. I learned a long time ago, when it comes to the Lord saying He's doing it, I'm not even going to start thinking. I know that it's going to be done. All the scriptures that we read and we study, folks, now you're seeing in our own generation, in our own nation, you are witnessing an outcry from heaven. I can't imagine at any era in history that such an outcry has come from heaven to the church, and the doors are closing because the church is no longer exciting to the world. The last time there was a big excitement, of getting in and packing out churches was on 9/11/2001. Didn't last very long. Everybody says, what happened? Somebody sinned. As I told Lawrence Phipps years ago in this big, beautiful church. And let me show you now where they worship, Larry. And I went to the little chapel. Baby grand pianos, everything you can think of out there. And people turned and walked away. Fourth, remember, He gave what He had willingly, cheerfully, and immediately. And here's the fourth one, and final. We must expect Him to multiply it. Don't taunt the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm going to test you on this one. Lord says, try me. Don't push Him too far. You got it? Try me is one thing, meaning trust me. And remember, if you don't expect Jesus to do anything, does He not tell us all the time, according to your faith, it shall be? Doesn't He even tell us this? We find in Scripture that, remember when I was talking about the great white throne judgment? That's the judgment of those who are resurrected in a human condition, in a human body like we have today, and waiting for judgment. and the judgment will come from their own tongues, every idle word, and the judgment will come from their own heart, and they will judge themselves. Whew. It's hard, think of it. You are the prosecution's witness against you. You are destroying yourself. Mark 6, 42 and 43. Everyone ate and had enough. Everybody. Many said that it was closer to 15,000 than the five. I don't care if it was five. There was only five loaves and two little bitty fishes that was there. Everyone ate and had enough. Afterwards, they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, the Lord says, give me what you have and trust me. And watch me, because I will show you in your life the outpouring that I'm going to give you is going to be so great that you'll have leftovers. Your cup will flow over. If your cup flows over, it flows over as a blessing to others. And the Lord said, use it that way. 12 baskets full of leftovers. Can't you imagine though somebody saying, yeah, there ain't many leftovers for a crowd this size. You know, it's they said a day's going to be beautiful. Yeah, I know it, but tomorrow's going to be a storm. Yeah, that's just some people that you just leave it alone. Mark 10, verse 27, the last. All things are possible with God. Now, folks, there will be no miracles in the heart of man if the heart of man does not recognize that all things are possible with God. It will be according to your faith. And then you get some that get too pious and say, well, the reason it didn't happen in his life, he didn't have enough faith. Folks, you and I as Christians are to help those who aren't. And you and I as Christians are to understand that a person that has never really prayed in their faith, that person is not going to be able to accept faith. So we help them. We show them that love. We show them that mercy. And let them know this comes from our Father. And the Lord will say, I will give to you because I know that you are going to take care of them.